Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. My name's Amanda Rocchio, previously Amanda Meixner. I am best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my husband, Chris Rocchio.
Hello, everyone.
So we're back in Los Angeles from St. Louis. I'd like to say it's sunny, but it's been a little smoky outside with all the fires.
A little smoky?
Very smoky. But, you know, we're blessed to be here safe and be able to bring this podcast to you from our LA home. Before we get into today's episode, Chris is going to read a review from one of our listeners.
Yeah, this is from Shelley 1860, titled Informative and Easy to Understand. The Master Your Health podcast is very helpful and informative. I love listening on my daily walks. I recommend it to all my friends. Thanks so much for sharing such impactful tips.
Thank you so much, Shelley, for that review. And if you guys take a moment, pause the podcast, and leave a review for Chris and I, it would really mean the world to us. Mm-hmm. Before we get into today's episode, we wanted to talk to you about our favorite new partner, Organifi Red Juice. Right now, I'm sipping on some Organifi Red Juice. It's a little afternoon pick-me-up, which is perfect because it doesn't have any caffeine. It only has 2 grams of naturally occurring sugars, which gives it that little sweet taste, but not too much. And I really love it because, you know, sometimes I just get bored of drinking water. Don't get me wrong. I love water. I drink it all the time. But sometimes you want that pick-me-up that isn't that sugar bomb drink, and their Organifi Red Juice is my absolute go-to.
Yeah, it's great. I primarily take it 2 times a day, once right before my workout, maybe about 30 minutes before, and another right after my lunch, about early afternoon. And it's great because it's got a little bit of fiber, 4 grams, and also an antioxidant berry blend, an endurance blend, and a metabolism boosting blend. And I especially like the endurance blend because it has the beetroot powder, the cordyceps powder, and the reishi mushroom extract. And the cordyceps and beetroot powder are really good for improving endurance. And the reishi has been shown to lower oxidative stress and also lower cortisol levels. So it's better for the recovery of, like, say, post-workout. So I'm sold on this entire blend. I love it. I could keep going on and on about this, but I think you get the point.
And I, of course, love that you get a little sweet pick-me-up, but it's also really good for you, like I say, with a lot of their products, you know, whether it's the red juice or the protein powder, that's probably the top two on my list right now when it comes to Organifi. And you can see all of our favorite Organifi products at Organifi.com/masteryourhealth and use code MASTERS with an S for 15% off all their products because you guys are the masters of your own health. Getting into today's episode, we're chatting with Tracy Dews. She is the hydration queen. She actually has a hydration podcast. And what I really love about her story was it was her own struggle with her health issues. And actually when she was carrying a child that she realized what component she was missing from her life. And that was really focusing on the proper ways to hydrate. And you'll really get into all the juicy details on today's episode.
Yeah, she really dropped some knowledge, maybe shattered a few of my pre-existing conceptions about water and hydration in general. And I think that she'll definitely do the same thing for all of you. So without further ado, let's get into it.
And I'd like to welcome to the show, Tracy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey,
thanks for coming.
Driving up from San Diego. Wasn't too bad, right?
No, it was so easy. I flew over here.
Well, Tracy is the hydration queen. You actually have a hydration podcast, right?
Yes.
So what kind of drew you to this world of water and why are you so fascinated by all the information about it?
Oh, gosh, I get so lit up when I talk about it. Well, I mean, as with a lot of things, it starts usually with our own crucible story, right?
Yeah.
Something happens in our life and the hero's journey. When I was pregnant with my first daughter, I started to get really thirsty where I couldn't even make it through the night. I would get up in the middle of the night and drink. I had a gallon of water next to my bed and I would just be chugging it. And I didn't have, you know, all my blood panels were coming back great. Everything was fine. I'm like young 20s, perfectly healthy, but I was so thirsty. And then my eyelids started getting stuck to my eyeballs where I'd have to like get water in the morning to just open my eyes. My tongue would be stuck to the roof of my mouth. It was bad. So I was like, what is going on? I'm drinking so much water. I don't understand. What I did not know was that I had a severe mineral imbalance. And my daughter, consequently, because no one caught this, she ended up having 2.3 centimeters of fluid, amniotic fluid that she was in. She was basically in a dry sac, and they had to do an emergency cesarean to get her out because she was breech. And they're like, there's no way we can turn this baby because it's basically she's in a dry sac. She could you know, if I hadn't been in the hospital that day getting checked, we might not have made it through the weekend together.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of my thing. And then after she was born, it continued the severity of the dryness in my mouth and eyes. And, you know, I went to every doctor. They thought it was an autoimmune condition. It wasn't. It was just ended up being a severe mineral imbalance. And the only way I found out was that I kept testing different waters. I would drink different water, and I realized, gosh, when I drink mountain spring water, I feel so much better. When I drink purified water, I feel like crap. Like I can't. I feel like I just need to keep drinking and drinking. And it was this unquenchable thirst. So then it got me into wondering, like, what is inside of this mountain spring water that makes me feel better? And it all.
The rest is history. Yeah. That's a pretty crazy story, though.
Yeah.
Well, what exactly was the imbalance? What were you having too much of and too little of?
You know, I'm not sure because no one actually tested those minerals. It just started to, I started to feel better when I started to take trace elements. When I actually specifically took Keaton minerals, which has also, it has 78 trace elements in it. Our body needs 74 for biogenesis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly which ones were in balance, but when I got all of them into my system in perfect balance, which that comes from the ocean is perfectly balanced according to our blood plasma, the way it should be. Mm-hmm. But most of our blood plasma does not look like the ocean's elements because of the toxic world we live in, the commercial mm-hmm. farming, all of these things. We are missing it. Most of us are. But, you know, I was just lucky enough that mine was so severe that I got to
see
learn
it.
From it. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, that's an interesting point on the trace elements. So, you know, obviously I hear people talking about how there's less of those elements within our food because of the way, because of our farming practices. Yeah. And then obviously we're having issues with water. Is that kind of where you think it stems from and why you encourage everyone to use trace minerals in their water?
Yeah, absolutely. We are not able to get all the minerals we need from our diet nowadays, from our food, from digesting food. It's just, it's really sad, but we're not. And so we do need to supplement with trace elements. And the great thing is everything evolved from the ocean. And, you know, even the amniotic fluid of your mother when you're in your mother's womb, that should mimic the elements that are in the ocean in perfect ratios and those exact elements.
Right. That's crazy. Well, I also heard you on another podcast talk about a pretty cheap alternative if you know, you don't have trace minerals at home yet or you haven't made that investment. You know, what's something you could use besides that Keaton brand?
So that's a great question. You know, people can use sea salt. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing. It's very different.
Right.
But if you are like, I don't have any money and I just want to add this, what I would say is start with never drink purified water. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the perfect trace elements to add into the water, do not drink purified water. You're dehydrating yourself. You're going to actually cause more harm than good. You want to drink natural spring water.
Yeah, absolutely.
That hasn't been adulterated by us, by man, by our commercial.
Yeah, because the reverse osmosis and things like that don't remineralize end up, you know, it ends up binding to some of the minerals in your body, doesn't it? And stripping your body of those nutrients.
Yeah, it is. It's like hungry water. You know, it's something that it's really hard for your body to hydrate because we need to have this balance in our extracellular fluid, in our intracellular fluid, this osmotic balance of the trace elements. And if it's not balanced, then you might have a difficult time absorbing the water into the cell, and then the waste will have a difficult time expelling out of the cell as mm-hmm. well. Mm. So we need to have that balance. And if you're drinking just filtered, purified water, chances are your body's going to get out of balance.
Right. Right. So what are your go-to filtration systems then? You know, what are your favorites on the list when it comes to that?
Well, I say the best thing is, you know, to drink mountain spring water. If you can get mountain spring water, that's amazing. And if not, and you just have your tap water, then I would do reverse osmosis because the membrane in reverse osmosis is the most comprehensive besides distilling it for removing the contamination, the chemical assaults. But yeah, so I would say do that. But with that said, like you had mentioned, you need to add the trace elements back in if you're going to do that. You don't right. want to just put reverse osmosis under your sink and then start drinking that, which I did for so many years and then became
aware
and balanced. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, so I think that a reverse osmosis is a great place to start, and then adding trace elements back into it, unless you can get mountain spring water.
Yeah.
Well, what do we have over here? The Berkey with this, so it's the carbon filter plus the fluoride filter. Is that insufficient? If we add the trace elements, is it not taken enough out? Even if we, you know, added the elements back in, or the minerals, I mean.
Yeah. So I need to understand the Berkey more. I know that the Berkey is a carbon filter, correct?
Right.
It's a carbon, and then you have that extra filter that you have added. So that's great. You guys are doing better than most people. You know, most people have a Brita in their refrigerator, and
right.
there's, you know, a lot of problems with that. But
why don't we talk about that real quick? I mean, because that's more applicable to most people, because that's what the majority, if the majority of Americans have water filters, that's what they have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know there's zero water, but most that hasn't really picked up, and I'm still on the fence on that one 100%, because it yeah. takes everything out and it looks like you need to replace the filter every month. And so it's crazy.
Well, it's good for them yeah, to make money, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they charge $20 for the thing, but then $30 for every filter replacement. It's, right. it's a steal. But so, yeah, maybe we can talk about the problems with the Brita.
Yeah. So it's just not as comprehensive as it needs to be. So when we are getting tap water, it depends. Everybody's the municipal water that you're getting water from, you can go online and you can check your specific municipal water and see the contaminants that are in the water. And that's going to determine the type of filtration that you need. So if you've got, you know, pretty good water supply, maybe the Brita will be okay. But for most people, it's not, if you look at their water system. So that's where you really want to start. Is go online to your municipal water supply and see, like, okay, what are the contaminants, the specific contaminants in here.
Right.
And then with those specific contaminants, we decide what. But most people aren't into chemistry and they don't want to do that. So, so I would say that just assume that the Brita is probably, I'm not saying in all cases it's not good enough, but it probably not in most cases. I just tell people, just to be on the safe side, if you don't want to worry about looking at your water and seeing what all the contamination is, then just get a reverse osmosis. I mean, they're so inexpensive. You can get one at Costco. And my favorite is the AquaTrue. I really like that one, because there's one thing that we should talk about that I think would be great to talk about, is a problem with reverse osmosis is that the membranes are dynamic. They're amazing. They filter out the contamination. But most of them have this under-the-counter container, right, that holds the water in it. And how often does that water get fully eliminated?
Not
probably
often.
Never, right? Like, say it's a 5-gallon tank and you drink 3 gallons. So there's 2 left over, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do that each day.
Right.
That water's just sitting there for how many years? And right. think about in a dark, moist place.
Right.
I mean, it's a microbiologist's like nightmare. And if you have any compromised immune system, this is going to be severely detrimental to your immune system. So it's not the actual filtered water that is necessarily the problem. It's the bacteria that may be growing and the microbes that may be growing inside of that holding tank.
Right.
So what I really like about the AquaTrue is it's just on the counter and you make the water by demand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you just pour it in and then it uses the reverse osmosis filtration and then you've got clean water and then you can add your minerals back into it.
We need to look into that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that would fit nice in your kitchen.
Better, because I don't like, so basically we got the zero water one.
Yeah.
Which I think it seems to be better than the Berkey one in terms of like it removes a lot more, but.
It removes everything
basically. So I guess it's, I don't know, maybe it's similar to, I guess it's its own thing. I wonder what kind of filter it is using, but.
Yeah.
for some reason, like after a month of using it, they like get a weird taste. Like I feel like you have to replace the filter every month with those things. Like yeah. gets but, really weird taste.
But that reminds me because there's about an eighth of an inch at the bottom of that Berkey filter that does not get cleared out from the reservoir. I do it every now and then, but you just reminded me that I should probably do it a lot more often, like, you know, like once a week or something like that at least.
Sitting water is never good. Water's meant to move. It's mm-hmm. it's and that that's such a then great that gets point. Into the point of the energetics and the physics of water. Water is you look at a stream, a living stream, and okay, so you go to a stream and the water that's moving is just dynamic, it's alive, it's fresh, it's crisp. Mm-hmm. And then you get to a body of water that's just sitting there and stagnant and it's not moving. What happens?
It gets
it develops bacteria, microbes, amoebas.
Yeah, it's gross, right? And it's both they're both water.
Right.
But mm-hmm. the difference is the movement. Mm-hmm. And so that's something to think about. We want the water to be moving. Vortexed water is informed water. It's informed with that living imprint that informs all of your cells that they're alive. And it's just, it's so exciting. That's why when you go to a living spring and you drink water from the spring, have you ever done that?
Yeah, I did that in Austria, like in Austria before.
Yeah.
The water's really cool.
How did you feel after you drank
it? It was great. I mean, it's a cool experience to be able to do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's like placebo effect of drinking it straight from the spring too.
Or, you know, or real like, effects.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, but you think that, I don't know, just the mental aspect of it. And like, this is so primal and this is where I'm supposed to be, you know, especially if you're aware of like, you know, paleo mindsets and things like that, right? So yeah, I bet like the intrinsic feeling of it was probably just as beneficial as the external feeling, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so I love the feeling, but like as far as the tap water, do you think that like can you maybe go over some of the main contaminants that are your concern that most people are exposed to on a day-to-day basis that aren't using a filter?
That aren't using a filter? Oh, gosh. I mean, they really vary based on where you live. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a long list. We can put it in the show notes just so that people can see it. So I probably don't want to bore people with all of the chemistry of it, but it depends on where you live. Okay. It really does. Mm-hmm. You know, my cousin lives in South Texas, and it's like his water is scary. I wouldn't even bathe in that type of water.
Wow.
The water that in San Diego that I have, you know, I have a carbon filter on my house, a main filter, and then I have a UMH system. And it's fine. But for his house, that wouldn't be
enough.
No, it wouldn't be enough. So I think that the main thing is just looking at your municipal water and looking at what you have. We could pull up yours here in LA.
Yeah, we did that for a previous water episode. We did an episode on like what's in your water supply. And kind of went over that and went over like six main ones that are kind of like spread across the country. And obviously it was mostly like xenoestrogens and things like that.
Yeah. And fluoride. And
yeah, look, her face just totally changed as soon as I mentioned that. So
like
it definitely hit home.
Oh, God.
But so do you put like a shower filter on your faucet as well?
Okay, so with the shower filter, it's passing through too quickly in order for it to be effective. And a lot of people don't know that. And so it's really useless. You need to have a whole home filtration system.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
so we need to get on that eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's like, yeah, so many people buy those and I feel bad because I'm like, oh, you're wasting your money. It's good intentions, but...
Do you think it does like a little something or you... No.
No, it does, but there's some main contamination that it doesn't. It's just passing through too quickly.
Got it.
So we need a whole home filtration system, especially if you're taking baths and stuff.
Yeah.
Know? But that's difficult because you guys live in... a place where there's multi-tenants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not in charge of your...
No, eventually. I mean, we'll get a house. So that's good to know for the future. But yeah, right now we have shower filters on our shower.
Yeah.
But
I guess it's a waste.
It's a little bit, yeah, pretty much.
Well, I also thought there was an interesting stat that you share all the time because, you know, I always thought that we're like 70%, you know, between 70-75% water. But... how much of us are water molecules? I love that stat because I think that really emphasizes how important it is to focus on this area if you haven't made changes yet.
Yeah. So that's the thing that confuses a lot of people when we talk about, oh, okay, someone's 70% water. And then you talk about 98.9% water molecules. It's like, wait a minute. They get confused. So we're talking about molecules, 98.9% of the molecules in our body are water molecules, but we're about 70% water by mass.
Yeah.
So, and that varies based on whether when you're first born, you know, to before you die. The main thing is dehydration. If you look at elderly people, one of the main things that they go to the hospital for is dehydration. We start to dehydrate as we age. It sucks. But so we're 98.9% water molecules. So, and that is because the water molecules are so tiny. I mean, the hydrogen atom is the smallest atom there is. So it's just so tiny. So that's why when you talk about it. But it's like, if you're 98.9% water molecules, that should tell you that it might be an important topic. It
right.
might be an important conversation to have.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I'm convinced at the 70 level. So at 98, it's pretty much a no-brainer.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. We're just we're walking water buckets with anxiety and stress. That's what we are.
Damn, but that's a summary and a half right there.
So is. But it's interesting because this is the message that I really desire to get out, is that it's not about just drinking water to hydrate us. I mean, that was the misconception I had, right? Drinking all this water and thinking, okay, it'll hydrate me. I'm so dehydrated. There's so much more to it. And we're not taught those basic principles. For one, movement is important. If you're drinking water and you're not moving, then that water is not going to hydrate the tissue. Mm-hmm. So they've done studies where they've looked at the fascia under a microscope and been able to see that there's actually water droplets on the fascia, living tissue. And so when we move, we're lubricating our joints, we're lubricating our fascia, we're moving all that water throughout our body. And our body creates its own metabolic water. We make between a liter and a liter and a half, depending on how efficient your mitochondria are, but we make our own metabolic water because the hydrogen from the food we're eating and the oxygen from the air we're breathing are so hungry to be together. They come together and make water. Our mitochondria actually create that. That's part of the process of the creation of ATP and ADP. And it's so beautiful that our bodies are creating that. But we need sunlight. We need a ground. We
right.
need to move. We need the minerals. We need water. We need nourishment. We need sleep. We need all of these things in order to hydrate.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's you know, you can't just focus on. I mean, you can start with one area, but you really got to connect all the dots eventually to really feel your best.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I know I was missing that. And I feel like maybe that's why that happened to me, so that I can help take people back to the basics and remind them how important it is to take your shoes off, ground to the earth.
Yeah.
So that, you know, our bodies are bioelectric. We're bioenergetic beings. Mm-hmm. If we just walk around in shoes all day, we never touch the earth, connect with the earth frequencies, then we charge the cells of our cell phone every night. We plug in our cell phones, but we forget to charge our own cells. Mm-hmm. And if our cells aren't charged, then our mitochondria isn't going to be working efficiently. And then that's not going to be able to create as much metabolic water as we need. And the great thing about the metabolic water that comes from our mitochondria is it's mostly deuterium depleted. And deuterium, what we're learning in science right now is that deuterium is a heavy isotope of hydrogen, and it's one of the most deadly isotopes. It's one of the most deadly things there is, that it's killing. Basically, it's heavier than the hydrogen molecule. It's like twice its weight. And so it's like if you threw a wrench into your motor, you know, it's like breaking the mitochondrial motors, the nanomotors in the mitochondria. And so we're losing mitochondria. And we know as we lose mitochondria, then we're losing energy, we're dying.
Right.
So it's killing us faster. But your body makes its own metabolic water that's deuterium depleted. So when we give the body all of those things like grounding, sunlight, sleep, trace elements, good water, our body's able to create more of its own metabolic water.
That's interesting. I'm pretty sure that most people have not heard about metabolic water. I'm almost positive.
I mean, I definitely haven't. So that's super interesting. Well, I also wanted to ask you a question on like how big a stickler are you between, obviously, you know, mountain spring water that comes in plastic versus glass? I mean, I know obviously at Whole Foods and stuff, you see those options, but are you more, you know, just get the mountain water if you can? Or are you very much like try to avoid as much plastic as possible?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So as we know, water is the source receiver of all information it comes in contact with. So whatever that plastic is made out of, it's informing the water. Also, water is the greatest solvent on this planet. So it's basically like if you think about you're putting water inside of plastic, what's happening? It's going to absorb every single thing that made up that water bottle, not only chemically, but it's going to absorb it energetically. And so it's informing the water. And then we also have the chemicals in the water. And then that water gets hot. I always think about this when I go to the store and you look at the water in the plastic and it's like in a cold refrigerator, right? But I'm like, well, when it traveled here on a truck, how hot did that get?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like, I don't know what happened with that water. And so I really try to stay away from plastic as much as possible. I mean, I sometimes would rather just not drink water.
Well, also light exposure. I mean, it can be sitting in cooler temperatures, but exposed to the light also helps break up, like on a very small scale, but it's still breaking down that plastic to a small degree.
Absolutely.
So it's just, that's why they say that, like, you know, if anything, you're going to want to have like darker, if it's in plastic, you want to be in darker bottles because it's also, you don't want the light, like say for instance, if it's oil inside the bottle, olive oil or something like that, you want a darker plastic bottle so it doesn't mess with the contents. Yeah. But if it's a water bottle, you don't want that breaking down the plastic and leaching in. So it's the heat and it's the light. It's all of that is working to our detriment.
Yeah. And talk about xenoestrogens, you know, like it's mimicking these long chain estrogens in our body and it's throwing off our whole endocrine system. It's just really, it's not good. So if you can choose not to have that, then I would say, please, you know, stay away from it.
Absolutely. So we've always also been a big proponent of obviously waking up and drinking water first thing. I feel like a lot of people forget about that. I mean, I've definitely, you know, woken up and drank coffee right away, which to me is a huge mistake. I don't know if you've done that before, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
But is that something you stick by? Like, do you aim for a certain amount when you first wake up? And is that kind of what you recommend to some of your clients too?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, as we're sleeping, we're respirating, right? And so we're losing a lot of water. And that's why you wake up thirsty typically. So it is important to hydrate right away. And that's a message as well. It's starting digestion. It's creating a ton of biochemical processes in your body. It's just activating. And we all like to be activated. So, it's turning you on. It's actually turning on your bioelectrical system. But if the water does not have the minerals in it, then it's not charging that bioelectrical system. So we think about that we need the minerals to charge the system. So in the morning, what I love to do, I mean, you guys, you have to try this. It's going to change your life. I make a little shot. So I take 2 hydrogen tablets, I pour a quinton vial in, which has 78 trace elements, and then 4 ounces of water, and I shoot it. And it literally feels like my whole central nervous system is turned on, tuned up, charged, activated, better than any cup of coffee you could ever have in your life.
I'm gonna need to get on this level.
I need to double up.
Right
this
now.
This is a double up. People come to my house and I'm like, I gotta give them a shot. And it doesn't matter if they're feeling tired or lethargic. Like in the middle of the day when you feel like you need a caffeine shot, try that and just see how you feel. It's our bodies are bioelectric. Sometimes we just need to get that electricity moving. Like if we're moving, right? If we go for a walk, a lot of times that'll wake you up.
Right.
That's activating everything because our bodies are electric. When you're moving your muscles, you're creating that conductivity. Mm-hmm. You're activating it. So when we get the minerals into the system, we're feeding and informing the system. You're activating it instead of depleting the system by waking up and then just having this shot of caffeine that's making your body pump out, you know, as your adrenals are pumping out adrenaline as well as other hormones, and it's depleting your system. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to do that as much as, you know, it's fun to have a cup of coffee and drink a cup of coffee, but to wake up and activate yourself, try this.
Yes.
And tell me.
No, I mean, here. What? Yeah. So do you recommend a specific brand of hydrogen tablets? So I remember like one of our friends was promoting it a while ago and I was like, I don't feel like there's not that much to it. But to hear, you know, the Water Queen talk about it, I'm like, okay, there's something to the hydrogen tablets. So is there a specific brand you recommend, and why, you know, why do you suggest that in addition to the trace minerals?
Yeah. So there are a couple brands that I really like. There's this company that I love to drink. It's called Hydro Shot, and they actually put the hydrogen gas into the can, and it's usually with like green tea, hydrogen, and then they do nitric oxide as well. So those together are just like, you're lit.
I'm going to get this after this podcast episode.
Yeah, I love it. I'll call them and tell them to send you a box. It's like, it's so much fun. My friends call me because we always have them at parties and they're like, I need to get those hydro shots. So the hydro shots are really good because they put the hydrogen in it. But the hydrogen tablets, we can put it in the show notes. There's a couple companies that I would suggest. Quicksilver has a great one. We can put it in the show notes and people can get a link. But the main thing that I want to tell people with the hydrogen is, I didn't know this, that it's a gas, right? It's not the actual constituents in the water that you're drinking. It's the gas that's coming out that is the benefit. So you need to drink it as soon as that little tablet dissolves. You need to drink it immediately. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's no waiting around. There's no waiting around. You're losing all the benefits the more you wait. So you just – then that's the thing that's so fun in the morning is – putting that tablet in, and that's when you can set the intention, because water is the source receiver of all information. So you can set your intention for the day. You can really pray over it, give it that love, give yourself that love. It's that moment to just take a step back and breathe. It only takes like 20 seconds for it to dissolve. And
right.
Shoot it and you're golden. But the reason why the hydrogen is really good is because, first of all, it's the smallest atom and it's neutral, so it can get into the cell very easily. When we look at things like glutathione or different things that we want to get into the cell, sometimes it's difficult for it to enter the cell. But hydrogen, it just goes right in. And it modulates inflammation in the body, modulates the immune system. It's one of the best antioxidants. Before I get on my cell phone and start working, because I know how detrimental the EMFs are, I'll take a hydrogen tablet because I know that that's a great
buffer.
It's a great buffer and antioxidant. I don't want to say antioxidant because oxidative is good. Antioxidant's good. We want it to be balanced. It balances the mm-hmm. oxidative stress in the body.
Yep.
And so it's just a really... if you don't have enough hydrogen in your system, you get hydrogen gas into your system and you are going to feel the difference. You're going to have more energy. Your system's going to have less inflammation if you're overinflamed, and you're going to have less oxidative stress.
Mm. So this is the key to healthy aging right here. This is why she looks so young, yet you've had two kids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm getting old, so I'm about to jump on that because I need to utilize that.
Yeah, we were always big on the lemon water, but you know, now we have something new to try.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm always pumping, just putting potassium supplements in my water because I tend to eat a lot of salty foods. You know, mm-hmm. like I like a lot of like prosciutto and like Italian cold cuts and things like that, and those things are really salty. And so, I'm usually like doing no sodium in my minerals and like my trace water, and I'm just trying to do. I basically just have a bulk thing, a potassium citrate that I add to try to, because maybe you can shed some light on this. Like, does adding potassium help you flush excess sodium? Like, do you know anything about like how would you flush excess sodium if you had a whole bunch of salty foods the day before or like earlier in the day? Is there a mechanism for doing that so you're not like overly bloated and things like that? I know women are more concerned about this than guys are, but.
Yeah, I definitely don't like that feeling.
Yeah,
you wake up, you go to sushi, and you have that soy sauce, and you got the puffy under the eye.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, so first of all, that's it's trapped in your lymphatic. So I would say a big thing would be to do some lymphatic massage in the morning. Mm-hmm. We want to move the lymphatic system. That's why when you wake up, it's like because the lymph isn't moving. And until you wake up and you can do a little lymph massage. I do a lymph massage on my face every single day. And then you want to balance the minerals out. There is an imbalance, and that's in your tissue now. And the reason why it's in your tissue is because the osmotic balance is off. So then now what's inside of the intracellular fluid and the extracellular fluid, it's too salty, and so you're holding the water inside. Mm. So you're right. You want to get the minerals balanced. So you're on the right track because the sodium-potassium pump is really important for all of that. But I also believe that potassium isn't the only mineral. You want to have a balanced set of minerals, just like the way that our blood plasma should look, that perfect ratio of minerals. And that's why I love Keaton, because it already has the perfect ratio from nature. So you don't have to think about it. You don't have to try to go, oh, let me go get a blood test today to see what all my trace elements are and how perfect they are. If you just put the perfect ratio into your system, it's going to balance it out.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. That's one of the main theories for the people I was trying to get to, but I was like circling around it. It's the whole idea that your body will like hold on to the sodium if there's an imbalance, because it's going to want to use that to like maintain hydration. But as soon as you give all the other things, it like pretty much gives your body the green light to let it go.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So like
that's a great point. Which actually brings us to the other myth we wanted to talk about, which is the alkaline myth. So I know there's obviously that question, like drinking alkaline water will balance like your, what is it? Like balance your blood pH, you know, make you more alkaline.
The whole theory is that, you're going to get me started here. The whole theory is that, you know, disease and cancer and all this only develops and thrives in an acidic environment. And acidic foods will make your body acidic, and therefore you should try to eat alkaline foods.
And drink alkaline water.
Yeah, because it'll make your body alkaline and prevent all these diseases.
Okay, so that's the myth. So what's the deal with that, Tracy? Let us know.
Oh, gosh. There's so many stories being sold in water and not a lot of science behind it. So... alkaline is not the same as alkalizing. Okay, those two are different. So we want to look at those. Alkaline, alkalizing the system. If you're drinking alkaline water, that's not going to translate into alkalizing your system. And like Chris mentioned, we don't want to have this totally alkaline system. We want to have our blood pH at about 7.4. That's really a healthy pH. So we don't want to be too alkaline or too acidic.
Right.
So it's like this word of alkaline. And I understand it because most people do have an acidic profile. And so they're saying, okay, well, if you're alkaline, you want to be more alkaline than you are. Mm-hmm. But drinking alkaline water is not going to translate to alkalizing your blood. If you want to do that, just drink some bicarbonates, you know, that'll instantly, you take a pH strip and pee on it before, and then take some bicarbonates after, you're going to have a green light, you know? but in order to alkalize the blood or bring the blood to that perfect pH that we desire, where no pathogens or microbes or unhealthy things can grow in it, we want to have that perfect pH. And I don't suggest looking to your water for that, because your body, your gut has its own buffer inside of it. It's acidic. You know, your gut buffers everything. I mean, you can break down a steak in like 30 minutes to 4 hours, you know? And so it's just illogical thinking to think that you're going to drink alkaline water and then all of a sudden your blood's going to be more alkaline.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, it's a good thing, because this is what keeps us alive, is that our blood and body are so smart that it regulates it within that tight range. So it's a good thing that's not possible.
No, by all means.
Think about this. You were talking about the lemon water, right? Lemon water is acidic.
Right.
But yet it helps alkalize the system. So it's not the pH of the lemon. It's actually what it's doing to your system. So that's what we want to look past. That's simple.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's, they're deriving this from possibly a false conclusion, because this is they may be messing up the causality, you know, whereas
good point.
Because the whole idea that, you know, you see, say, cancerous and you look around the tumorous environment, right? And it'll be acidic around it, mm-hmm. but it could be the cancer is causing the acidic environment,
yes.
and not the other way around.
Right.
So that's another one of the theories that completely shuts that down, is that, I mean, they haven't really, it's not really conclusive, but it could be reversed causality to begin with. So,
yeah. And someone who's really sick with cancer, you could look at their blood pH and they might be at an 8.
Right.
You know, and that's when they're really bad. So we don't want to be too alkaline.
Absolutely. No, it's a great point. And also, I love all your general healthy tips, because I was reading more about blood pH one time and they're like, yes, if your blood pH is out of range, like you're very sick or you're very deficient in minerals. So to your point of, like, you know, making sure you're getting all your trace minerals and all of that stuff, you'll be in a healthy place and your blood pH will stay in that healthy place.
But that doesn't mean, I mean, to not eat alkaline foods. I mean, one of our biggest things is to, you know, always just pump your body with as much fruits and vegetables as possible, because that, you know, also, you know, fosters a healthy gut and lets your gut bacteria thrive, all that kind of stuff. So it's like the practice of eating alkaline foods and things like that, I'm not dogging that by any means, you know, so I want to make that clear to our listeners, but it's just, it's not going to have the same effect that you think it is in terms of, you know, alkalizing the body or whatever.
Yeah.
Which was your point.
That's a great point. Exactly. Yes, we definitely want to eat alkalizing foods. I eat berries every day. I eat radicchio. You know, you want to have bitters. You want to eat your water.
Yeah.
I always think about, I'm eating my water. This is a really important thing too, because when you're eating your water, it helps hold the hydration in the system. So watermelon, even like romaine lettuce, just chewing on romaine lettuce during the day, it's so hydrating for the system. I put chia seeds in my water. I'll drink that. It holds hydration and the system for longer. And yeah.
I just see you at your desk chewing some romaine lettuce.
I do. I'm like a rabbit. I think I should have been a rabbit in another life.
A very beautiful rabbit.
People come over and we break carrots together, you know.
We break
some carrots. Break bread, we break carrots.
That's hilarious. Well, and his thing, he's always eating watermelon.
That's
like
my main
giant
thing.
Oh, I love watermelon.
Giant watermelons. People don't understand how he can eat that much
watermelon.
I'll eat
a whole watermelon too. I'll just cut it in half and like scoop it with a spoon.
And make your own little bowl.
Yes,
that's perfect. It's the only way to eat a watermelon.
I feel so bad because I think I taught my kids that. I'm like, I've taught you such bad habits, because now they'll just cut a watermelon and start scooping it instead of cutting it.
The problem is, it just, at that point, once you get past the first layer, you've just claimed it. Nobody else is eating from that watermelon.
You know? Yeah.
Which is probably the main reason why I started that, you know, when I was a kid.
This is mine.
But yeah, yeah.
Have you ever done watermelon juice with lime and aloe?
Ooh, no, I need to do
that.
That's
bomb. That's really like heaven on earth. Yeah.
The other thing I made recently was a watermelon slushy with just ice, watermelon, and mint, and you blend it up. Really, really good. Did I make it?
Why you ruin it with mint? Watermelon is fine the way it is.
It's good
with
mint.
That's true. It doesn't have to admit. But basil's good too, because they're in the same family, like the carminative. It's a good carminative. I like the watermelon and basil and lime.
I need to try that.
Yeah.
Maybe have to adjust my intake here sometimes.
But the aloe is the key that I would say, like for hydration, if you really want to up your hydration game. It has all those long chain polysaccharides, which are incredibly healing for the body. But that mucilage that's in the aloe does help hold the hydration in the gut and in the cells. And it's incredible. It helps with the cell integrity.
Oh.
Because another part of dehydration is you want to look at the cellular integrity. If you're not getting enough good fats in your system, that's going to affect your hydration level. So if people are on a very low fat diet, they could be severely dehydrated, because it can affect the phase angle of the cell. And that cell might not have that integrity that it needs to be able to hold the hydration in it.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
And I know that you have, you know, fat soluble vitamins, but are there any minerals that are fat soluble? Are there any minerals that are in the, you know, 74 trace minerals? Or is it 72 or 74?
So in the Quinton, there's 78 that come from the ocean, but our body needs 74.
Okay,
we need the 74.
So my question is, are any of those minerals more effectively absorbed through fat, or is that just the fat soluble vitamins?
I don't think it's the same thing. That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just minerals, so I don't think that that has anything to do with
it. It's just the water content and making sure it can dissolve. Okay, that's good to know.
Well, I had one more question on, well, so good news on the alkaline water. So if you're in the store, obviously look for mountain spring water.
Yes.
That's going to be a lot better. Don't, you know, save your money on the alkaline water. But you touched on, you know, a big seller of the alkaline water, which was the Kagan water filters. What's your opinion on those water filters?
So I think originally they used to sell themselves as alkaline water filters, and now they're focusing more on the hydrogen benefits of it. And like we had talked about, hydrogen's amazing. And so it's going to have some amazing benefits to it. As long as you are cleaning the probes on a regular basis, because the probes can get mineralized, and then that's going to affect the hydrogen production that comes out of it. But I really believe that you don't have to spend that much money on a machine when you could just get hydrogen tablets.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy some hydrogen tablets after speaking with you. But one question I haven't asked you was, what are some of the key signs that you're dehydrated? You know, like what should people look for to know that maybe they're making the wrong choices, or they're not drinking enough water in their day, or they should add in some of these water-based fruits?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Almost every biochemical process in the body depends on water and hydration. As we just spoke about, we're 98.9% water molecules. So if we're dehydrated, if the brain's dehydrated even 2%, it's going to affect cognition. It can cause headaches, brain fog,
right,
depression, chronic dehydration, I really believe is a huge contributor to depression.
Wow.
Fatigue, hunger, misinformed hunger. So you may not be hungry, but you think you're hungry, because that signal in your body is very similar. And a lot of time we think we're hungry when we're really thirsty.
Right.
And we need water. So excess hunger, fatigue, bad breath,
yep,
headaches, dry eyes, dry mouth, chapped lips. A lot of us carry around chapstick, you know, because it's like, oh, my lips are chapped. Maybe you're just dehydrated.
Right. Totally. No, those are definitely some on the top of my list. And I remember when I wasn't drinking enough water at some point, I felt like I'd go for more caffeine. So I started, especially I was working full time, and I noticed in the afternoon I would go for that second cup of coffee. And then I started drinking more water, and I was like, I don't really need the second cup of coffee. Like, I'm not feeling quite as tired as I was. Like, I still might go for a green tea or something. But I did notice that change when I focus more on hydrating more versus over caffeinating.
Good for you. See, that's so amazing. You're so intuitive, and you just decided to listen to your body. And that's amazing.
Right.
A lot of people don't do that. And so I encourage you to really just tune in to your body. And since we are 98.9% water molecules, it's like, if I'm having any issues, let me just drink a little mountain spring water, get some minerals, and then see.
Right.
There was this Harvard study that was done on people before they went to bed, and because they wanted to lose weight, and they decided, okay, we're going to test these people and see if they just, are they really hungry before bed, or are they just thirsty? And 99% of the people that were in this study realized that they were just thirsty when they drank a cup of water. They didn't need to eat the midnight snack.
I wonder how long it takes for that to kick in, to like shut off that hormone, the ghrelin that controls that. How long does it take between the time you drink that glass to where to shut down?
How long should you wait? Because you're like, I'll drink a cup of water and then go for the double mint ice cream.
Because that's the problem, is that, because I have that same thing, is that like most of the time late at night, if I'm up past 10:30, is when I'll want to go back for another snack. And well, it's also, you also have another element there, and that's your brain getting tired and wanting you to go, hey, go find sugar to give me
glucose,
more energy.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like you're fighting two different things right there. You're getting a hunger signal because you could possibly be thirsty, or you're getting the hunger signal because your brain's just tired. But nonetheless, at least check off one of them, eliminate that possibility, and drink, you know, what, 20 ounces of water or something like that. Wait 5-10 minutes. Another thing is, I've also heard to do like 20 ounces of water with 10 grams of glutamine will shut down that craving as well. So
That's a Christopher hack right there. Yeah. I will say the one downside of road tripping is I have to be dehydrated, or we're gonna have to stop every like 30.
Forget about it.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. I mean, this is, we don't road trip a lot, so I will take one for the team and stay dehydrated.
But we just did, and it was pretty brutal.
She had to keep going. Okay, yeah. Well, maybe there might be some upside and opportunity to mineralize more, because sometimes when we're drinking water, like purified water, just goes through the system.
Right.
It's not really hydrating the tissue adequately. So a couple of things I would say for that is, when you stop, move. Mm-hmm. So that you can get the hydration into the tissue and it's not just in the stomach sitting there. Also, digestion is huge, because if there is dysbiosis in your gut microbiome, then we're not going to be able to process the water as well either. Mm. So we want to make sure that we have good gut microflora, which I'm sure you do. And then making sure that you don't have the filtered water like we talk about. Because if you're drinking filtered water, it's going to go straight through. You'll be guzzling that stuff and like, stop, Chris, stop. I got to go pee again.
No, I need to try that hack. I definitely do.
Well, and not drink your 16 ounces of tea before we get into the car.
Yeah, the tea is tough. The tea goes straight through. Yeah. I know, because I'm a tea junkie.
The caffeine. The caffeine doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's dehydrating. It's just like pulling it all out, you know?
Yeah.
Squeezing it all out of your body.
Well, since we're on this topic, I was wondering if I could run this by you, and you tell me if you think it's correct or if it's just woo. So somebody had informed me that you should not tap, like, any time that your urine is completely clear, mm-hmm. you're overhydrated, or it's in a situation like you were talking about, to where it's not hydrating effectively, mm-hmm. like it's just going right through you. So is it the idea that you want your urine to be slightly yellow? Just like, you don't want to be too yellow, obviously, because that's dehydration, mm-hmm. and too clear means you're overly hydrated. So is there any, I mean, is that an indicator you can tell people, or is that kind of, inaccurate? It's not really a good gauge for people to go off of.
I'm not an expert in the urine, but I am personally under the belief that, yes, the too clear is probably not the best, that it should have a little tint to it,
okay,
but not too yellow. So if you're looking at it and it's getting like yellow, dark yellow, orange, especially orange, we know we have a problem. Mm-hmm. And then too clear, yeah, like when I was drinking that gallon of water and just drinking water all day, my urine was completely clear, but I was not hydrated. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm hydrated, there's a lot of information, but my urine does have a little bit of a tint to it.
Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what Tracy's
pee looks like. Yeah, now you know what my urine looks like.
Well, and if you're supplementing with some vitamins and some minerals, like, there is going to be some excess that come out in that. You know, it's like, I mean, because you do get, you do get adequate amounts of some minerals from food and then inadequates of others. So there, you know, I'm sure there's a balancing that it's like pretty much capping you off and then getting rid of the rest. But it kind of depends. Like, I know I take a bunch of vitamins throughout the day, so like it's kind of a weird gauge for me.
Because, it's like green.
Yeah, and then it's looking toxic.
Oh my goodness.
So in that situation, it's probably a little bit different. But if you're not taking a whole bunch of different supplements, yeah, it's probably a good gauge to go for.
The supplements are definitely going to affect that, especially as you guys know, when you have B vitamins, it's like, whoa, my urine's like a little oranger.
Yeah.
And it depends on which B vitamins you take, which brand, and how your body methylates the B vitamins, mm-hmm. and all of that is a big factor in it. But yeah, you want to look at the supplement intake. I like to look at my first urine in the morning and see what that looks like.
Okay.
That's a good indicator.
I may not have to worry about that, because I lay out her vitamins like all the time on the counter, and they're still there like 3 days later. So I just give up.
I already like forgot today, actually.
I know you did. I saw them on the counter when I left.
Gosh, damn. I'm going to take them when I get home. But so for listeners, what are some tips, you know, if someone's struggling to actually drink the right amount of water, you know, what are some tips to make sure you're consistently drinking enough water? Do you have any like hacks or, you know, tips you can give people overall?
Well, I think like we had talked about, just really tuning into your body and those those symptoms of dehydration. If something feels off in your body, maybe asking, hey, when was the last time I had some water? Because it's not really about chugging water all day long. Actually, the more water we chug, the more deuterium we're putting in our body. And that's a whole nother subject, but it's killing us. Water is actually killing us. So I say, in order to make, and that just goes way deeper, but I think in order to make our bodies more efficient, let's do the things that help our body make its own metabolic water. You know, charge the system up, get the minerals, get some mountain spring water, not overly drinking, but having just enough. Movement, sunlight, grounding, sleep, loving connected relationships. I know that sounds weird, but that's huge too for our immune system. And all of these things come together and they actually help us hydrate and build that metabolic water in our own system. And that's what I say we want to focus on. It's not so much, you know, you see those people that work out and they carry the gallon jug all day, or when people meet me, like when people meet me, they're always like, look, I have my big gallon of water. I'm like, okay, you know, that's great. I'm really glad that you're doing all the water, but that's not telling me anything. I don't know if that you're really hydrated just because you drank a gallon of water.
Right. Well, because that's what I was going to ask you, because I have a gallon jug and I do it's a gas gallon, and I have little pieces of tape that have, you know, writings on it. It says I have to hit this mark by noon, this part by 5 p.m., that kind of stuff. But it's making me second guess that. I also, you know, I'm also a heavy sweater. So like I go through a lot more water than most people do. So it's like,
you probably need more minerals then, right? Because you're sweating out the minerals.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's, it gives me something different to think about, because I haven't really been thinking about the trace minerals. So if you were listening to me in the past about the gallon water jug, I was wrong the whole time.
Yeah. No, I do like that tip about being more intuitive though. But obviously you still need to be intentional, like, you know, maybe the first thing you do in the morning, and also thinking about it evening, whether you're hungry or not, but also having that water available, but not, not over obsessing about it and just chugging it just to say, to check check the mark off my list.
I look at water so differently now. I was just talking to Dr. Boros. He is a scientist that's really teaching people about isotopes, and he's educating a lot on deuterium, and he barely drinks any water.
Deuterium is just hydrogen with an extra electron, right?
Yeah, it's a heavy isotope of hydrogen, and it weighs more. So that's what it's affecting our mitochondria. And then there's tritium, which is three times.
Yeah, okay.
And that's not as much as prevalent, but in like every, you know, bottle of water you're drinking, there's just a tiny bit of deuterium actually. So when we look at water molecules, we see H2O molecule, there's the D2O molecule, and then there's the HDO molecules. All of those are inside of the water that we're drinking. So we're not just drinking H2O.
Oh, wow.
And so those D2O molecules and the HDO molecules are the things that are really detrimental to our mitochondria, and they're killing us. And so the more water we're drinking, actually the more deuterium we're putting into our system.
Got it. So that's why you're a huge advocate for high quality water, because you don't need as much.
Yes.
You don't feel that need for it as much. You know, you're being efficient with your water.
I'm being efficient with my water. I personally drink deuterium depleted water. It comes all the way from Russia. It's like my one thing. I don't buy expensive handbags and shoes anymore. I buy water.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's really interesting. Yeah. We'll have to check that out one day.
I wonder how they do it. They just pump it with oxygen?
It's a micro distillation process that it's very, very comprehensive.
Yeah. Right. You guys are full nerding out right
now. Yeah. It's a very comprehensive process. It's super expensive. We don't have anything. I mean, this is shipped all the way from Russia. You can get it shipped from Russia or China, but to have your water shipped all the way from Russia, it's like, it gets very expensive.
It's so funny that Russia is the only one doing this.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah.
I'm sure, like, as the science comes out and maybe picks up pop, you're like, maybe you're sharing us.
You're going to start seeing it in the next 5 to 10 years. Everyone's going to be talking about it. Right now, it's just kind of like,
so you heard it first, right?
Yeah, you heard it first on your podcast.
Entrepreneurial light bulb just popping up in my head right But yeah, just start being the number one importer of deuterium depleted
well,
water.
Well, I know some very large beverage companies. I'm not going to say their names, but that are
are interested.
Oh yeah. It's already like.
Yeah, you got it in the works.
Yeah, there's some big things happening. So you're going to start hearing about it. Once the big beverage companies get a hold of it, then of course you're going to hear it in mainstream marketing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But right
like
now,
they did with the alkaline water.
Yeah, well, it's a little different. Yeah, exactly. But I think that it's something to think about. So like you mentioned, you brought up that great point of we want to be drinking high quality water. We want to be drinking water that is first chemically clean, bioenergetically clean, vortexed, structured. When we have all of those elements with the water, we're going to be drinking water that is well informed and it's going to hydrate our cells at the highest level. And then doing those, I call them my 9 pillars of health. I have those 9 pillars of health that I've gone through with the grounding and sunlight and all of those things that are important too to make our bodies more efficient to make that deuterium depleted water.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, not about just chugging water all day. We're killing ourselves with the deuterium. Yeah.
Can you run down those 9 pillars again just for our listeners real quick?
Yeah. So we want hydration, mineralization, nutrition, movement, sunlight. One of them I say is creative playtime, loving connected community, sleep, and what am I missing one? I think I said them all.
Yeah, no, those are amazing pillars. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I feel like that's.
Oh, did I say sunlight? No, sunlight.
Sunlight is the one you were missing. So I guess where can everyone find you? I know you have a podcast. It's called The Hydration Podcast.
It's called Hydrate with Tracy Dews.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Because you're the hydration queen. And then what are you on Instagram?
Tracy Dews, TracyDuhs.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you for coming down or up from San Diego. I always get that wrong. I had a wonderful conversation and now I'm going to start using hydrogen tablets and maybe get that ketone for our water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Yeah. See you.